We thank God for him, a godly man. And I just want to thank God for allowing me to have the privilege of speaking to you this morning. Amen. This morning we're going to be speaking on the subject of preach the word, preach the word. Yes, folks, this morning we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Preach the word, the pure, unadulterated gospel. And we're going to be speaking from 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Last week we spoke on the subject of five solemn facts, five solemn facts. And I ask you all a question at the very beginning. I'm going to ask you again. And then I'm going to probably ask you again in the conclusion. And the question that I asked was, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Folks, that is not a question to be taken lightly. That is a very, very, very serious question. Where will you spend eternity? I don't know where you're going to spend eternity, but I do know this. Be one or two places. Where? Heaven or hell? It is just that simple. Heaven or hell. And this morning, I want to encourage you, if you are not saved this morning, if you are not saved this morning, why don't you accept Christ as your Savior and leave here as a new creature in Christ Jesus? Amen. Remember my last point last week? This could be someone's last opportunity to be saved. Amen. Am I right about it? Amen. Right. Maybe somebody's last opportunity. Don't put it off another day. Declare today as a day of salvation. Preach the word, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And this is Paul writing to his protege, Timothy. Encouraging him. Starting at verse 1 here. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day you've given us, Father. We thank you for the wonderful congregation. We thank you for each and every one that's here. And Father, speak to our hearts today. And Father, may we be changed forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The story is told about an old Indian who attended a church service one Sunday morning. The preacher's message lacked real spiritual food, so he did a lot of shouting and pulpit pounding to cover up his lack of preparation. In fact, as it is sometimes said, he preached up quite a storm. After the service, someone asked the Indian, who was a Christian, what he thought of the minister's message. Thinking for a moment, he summed up his opinion in six words: high wind, big thunder, no rain. Yes, when the scriptures are neglected, there is no rain. Only when preaching is based on God's word are his people blessed and refreshed. Folks, we heard this morning about read your Bibles, and that's exactly what we need to do. Read and study our Bibles. In chapter 2 of Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, just a few verses prior to what we read, it says this: all scripture, not some, but all is given by the inspiration of God. God is the author of this book here. God is the author of the Bible. And scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine. The scripture is for doctrine, which is what is right. This book right here will always tell you what's right. It will never tell you to sin or to do wrong. For reproof, it will tell you what is not right. correction, after you have made some mistakes, got off course, it will tell you how to get right and how to get back on course. God is good, isn't he? And then he's got a second chance. We can mess up and we can still come on back home. Isn't that right? That's good. Instruction in righteousness. The Bible will tell you how to stay right. It will tell you how to live righteously, how to serve God and how to worship God. We serve a good God. I'm going to deal with a preach on the subject of preach the word. Are you familiar with this charge of preaching the word? And I'm going to cover five aspects this morning of this charge here of preaching the word. Now, some of you may have heard this passage at an ordination service and say, well, this is a pastoral epistle, and it is. But this passage, or this whole entire Bible, is just as practical, just as applicable, just as relevant to you as it is to those who preach and teach the word of God. So don't just think, well, that's just for pastors and that's just for deacons. This is for everybody. So let's get that clear this morning. I know it's a pastoral epistle, but it applies to all of us. So this morning, the five aspects are the seriousness of the charge, the eyewitnesses to the charge, the content of the charge, the reason for the charge, and the essentials of the charge. The seriousness of the charge in verse 1, I charge thee. This is Paul talking to young Timothy. See, during this time and even today, you got false teachers coming in, infiltrating and passing on all this false doctrine and negative information. And Paul knew it was coming. It was already there in some churches, and it was going to be easing its way around. And the same thing is happening today. Folks, whenever somebody tells you something, check it behind this Bible here. Check behind me. This is our guide. This book is never wrong. And y'all at Unity know that I have said over and over again, if anybody's wrong, who's wrong? We are. Who's always right? Always right. So the seriousness of the charge, I charge thee. What Paul is saying to Timothy, I solemnly witness. This is a serious moment. This is a command. I want you to pay close attention. Maintain sound doctrine is serious business because of the false teachings and the false doctrine. I want you to pass on the unadulterated gospel to the generations behind us is what Paul is saying to Timothy, and that's why it is so serious that we pass on correct doctrine. And then the eyewitnesses to the charge in verse 1. Paul said before God, which means in the presence of God, and also said, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul was telling Timothy is, God and Jesus Christ are watching you to see if you preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. The gospel is what? The good news of how we can have our sins forgiven and heaven is our home. The gospel is the good news of how Jesus died in my place and on my behalf. The gospel is the good news of how I can spend eternity with Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. God's only Son provide eternal life. That's the gospel. So keep in mind that God got his eyes on you. There's no such thing as secret sin. You're going to hide something from God. You can never hide anything from God. We might slip and slide and hide from each other, but my God, he knows everything. You can't get away with it. So never forget that. He's all-knowing, all-seeing God and got his eyes on each and every one of us. Therefore, whenever you handle the word of God, handle it appropriately. Then do not teach and preach your ideals, your philosophy, these man-made religions, these man-made doctrines, these fashions, these fads, these popular opinions, what's political correct. Because sometimes when people deal with political correctness, they deal with what the majority of people want done. You preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't preach about it. Preach what? The word of God. And then the accountability factor. who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead. If we are living when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to judge us. If we die before he comes, he's going to judge us. He's going to judge us as to whether or not we preach the gospel. Folks, judgment day is coming. Everybody's going to be judged. It's only two judgments. The judgment for believers, which is the Bema Seat judgment, and the great white throne judgment, the judgment for unbelievers. Let me ask you a question, a serious question. What judgment are you going to be at? What judgment are you going to be at? The Bema Seat for Christians or the great white throne judgment for unbelievers? Folks, I'm telling you, hell is for real. Hell is forever. The imminent return factor in verse 1, at his appearing and his a kingdom. Folks, we need to have a sense of urgency. We don't have all the time in the world to get this job done about getting the gospel out, because Jesus Christ is coming back. Y'all believe that? Do y'all really believe he's coming back? And imminent means what? At any moment. Christ could come back at any moment. Next 5 minutes, next 5 hours, next 5 days, next 5 months, next 5 years. I don't know, and you don't know either. But I know this. He's coming what? He's coming back. That's why it's so important for us to get the gospel out and share the gospel with people. A sense of urgency. Letting them know that Christ Jesus is coming back. And then the third aspect of the charge to preach the gospel is the content of the gospel. This is what the charge really, really is. Then verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word, proclaim the word of God. Preach the undiluted, unadulterated, uncorrupt, undefiled word of God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, study, 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 study so you know what you're talking about. Study so you represent Christ well. Study the word so that you present the word and not about the word. Study so that you, first of all, you got to have a relationship with Jesus, and study so that you know Jesus Christ. See, some people know about Jesus Christ, but know Jesus Christ. So do you know Christ for yourself? Do you have a relationship with Christ Jesus this morning? Folks, let me tell you something, and I'm not criticizing President Obama. I don't know President Obama. I've never been in his presence before. I just know of him. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I just know of him. And that's like some people with Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus Christ. They just know about him or what they heard about him. But do you have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus? That's the point I'm trying to make. I don't know Obama. All I do is know of him. I don't have a personal relationship with Obama, President Obama. Folks, if you don't know Christ Jesus, you need to know him today before you leave here. Preaching is God's method to save men. Preaching, preaching. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Verses 18 and 21. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. This is what Paul said to them, starting in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Then in verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. So preaching is God's method to save men. Then we go back to our text. Be instant. Mean to take a stand. Mean to stick to it. Folks, you need to take a stand for Christ Jesus. You need to take a stand for righteousness and stick to it. No matter what the world is doing, even if you have to stand by yourself, stick to the word of Jesus Christ. Always stick to the word. Then Paul said, be in season and out of season. Folks, we are to preach and teach when it is favorable, when it is unfavorable, when it is convenient, when it's not convenient, when it's popular, when it's not popular. Your job is to preach and teach the word of God. And then we'd also teach and preach the whole counsel of God. Preach it all. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. This is talking about the whole council. Verse 20. And how I kept nothing back. Kept back nothing that were profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. 27 and 28. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock of God, the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Folks, let us not be accused of we don't want to deal with certain topics because somebody may get mad, because some members may leave. You may get voted out, so you just avoid those topics. Preach it all. Preach every bit of it. Whether they like it, whether they don't like it, whether they vote you out, whether the members leave, preach the word. Preach the word, because God is going to judge you based upon this here. God is watching you, so you preach and teach the word of God. In Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, which is commonly referred to as the three I's of the Apostle Paul. Why don't we just turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Paul is saying, I am a debtor. I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, Paul, before he got saved, was a mean and a wicked man. But after Paul got saved, Paul was a great soul winner. Paul was a great worker for Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm indebted to Christ Jesus for saving my soul. Now, you can't buy your salvation. There's no such thing as salvation by works. But because Paul's soul was saved, Paul said, I am indebted to Christ Jesus to share the gospel and tell other people about Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to do. Somebody shared the gospel with you in some way, some fashion. And you ought to share the gospel with somebody else so that they can be saved too. Opportunities all around us to share the gospel. Whether we're at work, in the grocery store, the gas station, wherever we're at, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let somebody know that Christ Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Will you spend eternity in heaven with Christ Jesus? Share the gospel, people. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Folks, preach it when it's inconvenient. Preach it when it's convenient. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul, not ashamed. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of Christ Jesus? Christ Jesus was not ashamed of us. He went to yonder cross and died for us. And we need to live for him. So never, ever be ashamed of Christ Jesus. Anytime you feel like you're ashamed of Christ Jesus, just look back to the cross and what Jesus did for you. And that ought to take away all those feelings of embarrassment because this man gave his life for you. Did something that nobody else could do. And that is to die so that you can spend eternity in heaven with him. We are to reprove. That means to put a person under conviction of their sin and lead him to confession and repentance. Now, Nathan did this with David. He confronted David with his sin of adultery. David saw Bathsheba taking a bath, and David desired this woman, which was another man's wife. And David sent word that he wanted to see her. And David got with this woman, and this woman became pregnant. And then David sent this woman's husband into battle, and he was killed. David somehow couldn't see anything wrong with what he had done until Nathan gave him, I'm going to call it a little riddle. David just talked, oh, this man ought to die and blah, blah, blah. Nathan told him, you are the man. You the man. Folks, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Folks, confront people with their sin. You profess to be a Christian. What you do is our business, and we need to confront you with your sin. Is that what we talked about this morning in Sunday school? Accountability, people. Accountability. We're accountable to each other. Don't do any harm to the body of Christ. Rebuke. This is a harsh warning. Stern warning to convince a person of his sin and the penalty of his sin. Folks, we know somebody doing wrong. We got to go to them. You're going down the wrong road, brother. You're going down the wrong road, sister. If you keep it up, this is what's going to happen to you. And there are some people that I've talked to. Deacon Back and I've talked to, told them what was going to happen if they continue. And they kept on down that road. Now they're paying the price. Folks, it is wrong. It is dangerous to go against godly counsel. You can't sin and expect God to bless sin. God got his leaders in church to help you out and to tell you right from wrong. And if they tell you something, you need to do it. Because we're going to be using this Bible. Am I right, Deke? We use this Bible right here. Not what we thinking up and making up and so forth. We talking from this Bible here. And I know sometimes it gets rough. But it is necessary to tell you the truth. Because we're accountable for you. Exhort with long-suffering in doctrine. Now, Paul gave all these strong instructions. Now he's saying exhort, which means to encourage, to comfort, and to help. Exhort with long-suffering. That means, folks, we are to patiently encourage regardless of the circumstances. If we know you're doing wrong, we're going to be patient with you. We're not going to get mad. We're not going to be resentful. And we will never give up on you. Why? Because Christ Jesus has the power to change a person. Then we're going to exhort with all doctrine, all teachings. We want our teachings are going to be healthy, they're going to be true, and they're going to be pure. Do not teach bits and pieces of God's word. Do not focus on the subject that are popular, and that's all you want to teach, because everybody's going to like you and pat you on the back and, oh, you did a good job and so forth. Tell it all. Tell it all. Talk about sin. Talk about hell. Let them know if they're not saved where they're going. Let them know. Let them know. You're not saved, you're going to hell. Lynn, our musician, oftentimes use the term stay in your lane. Doctrine is like the lines on the road. People who do not stay in their lane or do not pay attention to the signs or stoplights are like those who make up their own doctrine. They can hurt or destroy themselves and others. Stay in your lane. Stay with the word of God. Stay with the biblical doctrines and you'll be safe. We talked about the seriousness of the charge, the eyewitnesses to the charge, the content to the charge. Now we're going to look at the reason for the charge, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Folks, Paul said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People will not endure sound doctrine. We do not enjoy hearing that we're sinful, that we're selfish, that we're unjust, and that we fall short of the glory of God. But it is true. See, preaching ain't what you want to hear. It's what you ought to know. We do not want to hear that we can do nothing whatsoever to become acceptable to God. I told y'all last week, Prophet Isaiah said, our righteousness are as filthy rags. You're not that good that you're going to get into heaven. How many sins does it take to miss heaven? How many? Just one. That's all it takes. Just one sin. So you'll never be that good. And if you were perfect, there was no need for Christ to come. That we can live perfect lives. Now, I did not say go out here and cause Christ Jesus is our Savior and he forgives sin. Go out here and just live any kind of way now. And sin, I did not say that now. Because Christian people don't do that. Amen, right?
Amen.
Amen. Most people do not like hearing that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is the only mediator. And that Jesus Christ is the only way that a person can be saved and acceptable unto God. We told y'all last week, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said what? I am what? The way. A way. The way. The truth. And the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. John 14, 6. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that. And I'm satisfied with it. Verse 3 here. People will want teachers or preachers who will allow them to live like they desire. Folks, if you're a child of God, you can't do that. Shouldn't do that. And if you're a preacher, Sunday school teacher, in church leadership, can't have that. Somebody doing wrong, we need to correct them. We're talking about church discipline this morning. Invoke church discipline if you have to. See, folks, who do Christians represent? There you go. People are looking for an excuse, and some use excuses not to come to church anyway. But when they see the Sunday school teacher doing wrong, or they see the preacher doing wrong, or they see the deacon doing wrong, you mean to tell me I got to go to church to sin? No, no, no. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. Live the Christian life, people. Y'all hear what I say this morning? Fulfill your duties as a Christian. So Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Don't buy into Mohammed. Don't buy into Confucianism. And all them other people in ism. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. Jesus Christ is the mediator who bridged that gap between God and man. Some of these preachers, Brother Sims probably know what I'm talking about. You're talking to preachers, oh, I can't say that. They'll run me off. Oh, I just can't do that. Oh, no, You know what I got to say? I'm preaching the gospel and run me off. But do what's right for God. Folks, I am telling you, if you do what's right for God, you won't have no problems. Are you going to please God or are you going to please man? So, people look for preachers sometimes who allow them to do what they want to do. And they don't say a word about it. But y'all remember I mentioned earlier about accountability? Folks, we're going to give an account one day for how we live and our leadership. Never forget that. We're going to give an account one day before Almighty God, just as Paul said. People will live lives that seek gratification of the flesh. Sex and immorality, status, good works. Want people to praise us and say what a good job we did and we done that and we give somebody a shirt off our back and fame and wealth and fortune and so forth. Folks, if you base your salvation on that, you're lost. Base your salvation on the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 here. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. adulterated messages are the popular preference. Those are the ones who preach and teach. Those wonderful, these nice little soothing messages. So sometimes the message, they're gonna cut you off now. And it's supposed to. But it's what? To help us. To help us. So don't get me wrong. Some messages, they're gonna be hard. They may not be what you want to hear. But what you need to know. We heard that expression. He was really stepping on toes today. Good. Step on toes. Preach the gospel. Some of the myth that people want to hear rather than the truth is evolution. And it's a shame that some churches believe in that. Believe in evolution. When Genesis 1:1 said what? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Charles Darwin and all of that, and Big Bang Theory and so forth. Don't do that. The Bible said in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Reincarnation. Told y'all about that last week. All it's about, you didn't get it right, you're just going to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back till you eventually get it right. What did Hebrews tell us? And as it is appointed unto man, once to die, and then, amen, once to die. Didn't say five times to die. Once to die, and then the judgment. People peddling this foolishness that there's no hell. It's hell right here on earth. Oh, really? You think your life is hell on earth and you're not saved? Better go read Luke chapter 16, dealing with Lazarus and Dives to get a real glimpse of what hell is like. Folks, don't let nobody tell you that there's no place called hell, because there is a place called hell. Otherwise, the Bible is wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe the Bible with all my heart. There's nothing nobody else can convince me that this Bible is wrong. I just refuse to believe that. Adulterated messages. All roads lead to heaven. That's wrong. Jesus said, I am the way. That's just, remember last week? That's just narrow. Jesus only. This wide one now that leads to hell, it just full of all kind of leaders and religions and so forth. It's wide open. Plenty of room and more room. And more room of people going there. But this narrow way, that's the road that leads to heaven. All you find at this narrow road is Christ Jesus. That's all you find there at this narrow road. Lord, this prosperity gospel. You work with the blessing plan, it'll work with you. You send me this and God gonna bless you fourfold. All his horoscope and he's madam this and madam that, and folks just trying to get rich, doing all this stuff. The prosperity gospel. Some of our preachers, I've seen them on television, don't look at them long, just want to see what they're going to say sometime. Hey, look how God blessed me. Lear jets and yachts and everything else. But then ask you to send your money. No wonder they got it, because you're sending your money to them. Folks, Paul I'm going to give Paul credit for Hebrews. But Paul said in chapter 13, verse 5, by being content. Just be content with what the Lord bless you with. Just be content. Keep your eyes on what God has given you and what God bless you with. Don't worry about this and that. God, you bless him with this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm doing a whole lot more than him now. But you didn't give me this. You didn't give me that. Why do we do that comparison? Just be what? Content. And thank God for what you do have. Thank God for your blessings. The seriousness of the charge, the eyewitnesses to the charge, the content to the charge, the reason for the charge, and lastly, the essential of the charge. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Folks, we must watch in all things. Satan is busy. Satan wants you to take your eyes off Christ Jesus and get them focused on some worldliness, something that's going to cause you some harm. Now, Satan, when he do this, now he's not going to tell you how he's going to ruin your life or how he's going to ruin your ministry or how he's going to destroy relationships. But God has already told us, Satan, to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's Satan's whole motive. Now, Satan don't let up. He's going to keep on fighting and keep on fighting and keep on fighting. And the more he fight, the more we ought to read, the more we ought to pray, the more we ought to study the Word of God, have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should always be alert, calm, and cool-headed in all situations. Stay focused on Christ Jesus. Because Paul is telling Timothy, you do this, you watch, you stay focused on Christ Jesus because affliction is coming. Even during those terrible times, Timothy, this is what you need to do. Preach the Word of God. We don't change so that our circumstances lighten up. See, sometimes we try to figure out, well, there's a whole lot of pressure on me. I'm going to do this so I can get some of the pressure off me. You better make sure it's God. If it's not of God, you hang right in there and you keep fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will see you through. I don't think anybody suffered worse than Job did other than Christ Jesus. Job went through something. But you know what Job did? Job hung in there with God. And that's what we're supposed to do. Hang in there, folks. Hang in there. When it get tough, you just keep on hanging. You just keep right on leaning on Christ Jesus. And he'll never give away. You just keep right on hanging and leaning. That's what you're supposed to do. And folks, it's going to cost you something to follow Christ Jesus. It may cost you some friendship. That's why I don't get invited to the office parties. What going to they invited me anyway, but that's okay. I don't get invited to the parties. I come in and then I create trouble because everybody they're talking when I show up. But that's okay. That tells me you're talking about something you shouldn't be talking about anyway. But at least they got respect. At least they got respect. Has here, do the work of an evangelist. We must do the work of a soul winner. Well, sometimes we say, well, that's a preacher's job. And that's true, but that's your job too. It's your job to lead people to Christ too. Lead somebody to Christ Jesus. Tell somebody what Jesus did for you, how he saved your soul. So it's your job too. Let people know that Jesus saved. What a difference he's making in your life. I wouldn't take nothing for Christ Jesus. Nothing. So folks, talk with your neighbors. Talk with the people on your job. Talk with the people at the grocery store, at the gas station, wherever you might be at. And don't never assume that somebody's saved. Because they just may not be saved. Talk to them. Walk up to him. Sir, ma'am, I got some good news I want to talk to you about. People love to hear good news. Love to hear good news. Tell them about Jesus Christ. They, more likely they'll talk to you. You know that. If you say, I got some good news. Yeah, I want to hear that. You don't think they're going to say, no, I want to hear the bad news. No, they want to hear the good news. Tell them about Christ Jesus. We must complete and fulfill our ministry, make full proof of that ministry. We must carry out our ministry to the end, fully performing all the duties of it. People, whatever your ministry is, you carry it out to the very end. Don't slack up, don't let up. You just keep on fighting for Christ Jesus to the very end. You know, some people, they start out right. Start out right, on fire for God, doing the right thing, coming to church, serving on this ministry and that ministry. For some reason, they turn bad. They fall to some of these false doctrines. And folks, let's make sure we stay on course, we stay on track with Christ Jesus, and we do things the way Jesus wanted done. And we just fulfill our ministry to completion. That's what Christ Jesus wanted us to do. Preach the word. Teach the word of God. And I challenge you to remember the charge. And I pray that you'll be blessed with a long and fruitful ministry for the glory of God. I asked you a question earlier. And I told you I'll probably ask you again. I'm going to ask you again. Same question I asked last week. Same question I asked this morning. Where will you spend eternity? Y'all hear what I say? Where will you spend eternity? Two places, but you can only spend it in what? One. Are we clear on that? Y'all believe this here now? It's going to either be heaven or hell.